This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
And now, America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. And part of what has made this nation great, argues Carl Zinsmeister in a very provocative piece in Real Clear Politics. Part of what has made this nation great has been the idea that wisdom comes from the bottom up, not from the top down. And yes, that doesn't mean that there aren't all kinds of things you can learn from wise and smart and well-educated and scientifically sophisticated people and leaders, but that if you are going to be moving forward as a democratic republic, as the United States has for going on soon, 300 years, with all of that, you need to actually be in touch with the common people, with ordinary people. Carl Zinsmeister is not common or ordinary. He's an author and researcher who's written hundreds of articles, books, and scripts. He's particularly experienced with looking at charity and what charity has meant for the United States and all of the different changes that charitable organizations have been able to achieve. But his piece now that we're talking about is called The GOP is the Unlettered Party. And that's a good thing. Carl, congratulations on the piece and Happy New Year.
Hi, Michael. It is always, always great to chat with you. So Happy New Year to you.
Well, thank you. Let me ask you first, how would you define the phrase the Unlettered Party? You're not saying that Republicans are illiterate.
No, but we all see those headlines regularly that say Republicans are the stupid party. That's the commoner term, maybe. We hear that the people voting for the GOP these days are the less educated part of our population, and how terrible that is and how scary that is. And I say, actually, that's true. And I go through the data in the piece and show that the last Democrat who really was, you know, elected by, let's call it, the regular guy in this country was Kennedy. And JFK actually lost high-income voters, and he lost college-educated voters by 2-1. And, you know, that was the kind of the Republican Party that I barely remember when I was a little kid, is that, you know, the Republicans were supposed to be the defenders of the country club set, and the Democrats were the party of the little guy. And as you know, Michael, that's just completely flipped now. And it's been a gradual process. It wasn't just a Trump thing. We can talk about that later. But it's completely flipped. And today, wealthy people, since 2012, to be precise, rich people have voted primarily for Democrats. And working class people have increasingly voted for Republicans. So, it's, first of all, it's just really fascinating as a you know, pop culture shift, that one of the things you're expert in, but it also has really, really important implications in terms of, you know, who really is speaking up for the least and the lost and the overlooked.
Well, you have one good phrase, actually you have several very fine phrases in your piece, but one that sticks in the mind particularly is you say that the country club Republicans have become country music Republicans. And that's a different constituency, people who are representing Nashville rather than people representing Greenwich, Connecticut.
Absolutely, yeah.
But
yeah.
Here, I like to use the term. Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm sorry to step in there, Michael. I like to use the term middle Americans, you know, because it's kind of, that's both physically a place, the middle of America, the Nashvilles of the world, that I really identify with and a lot of the Republican leadership identifies with. But it also implies the middle of the kind of the spectrum. It's not elites, but it's also not people who are, you know, kind of falling apart. It's the massive middle. And that really is the strength of the Republican Party today.
Okay. When you go at the very beginning of your piece, you list a number of the Republicans who have some possibility of leading the party in the future. And you mention Governor Ron DeSantis. You mention South Carolina Senator Tim Scott. You mentioned Greg Abbott. You mentioned Glenn Youngkin, the governor of Virginia. And I was just checking on it, and DeSantis, you already know about, he has degrees from both Yale and Harvard. And it's true, his dad used to repair Nielsen boxes. He was a blue-collar guy. And, of course, they're descended, all eight of his great-grandparents are Italian immigrants. And the idea that if you take a look at the academic record of Ron DeSantis or of Glenn Youngkin, Glenn Youngkin has a degree from Harvard Business School. DeSantis has degrees both from Yale College, Yale University, as an undergraduate, and then from Harvard Law School, and plus distinguished service in the Navy. How do you see people who really have sort of punched out their clock with super elite backgrounds, like we're talking about, how do you see them as the ordinary guy?
That's a really great question, Michael. And let me just start by saying I'm not arguing against education or that it's bad to have expertise or that it's not a good thing to be wealthy or successful. Those are all good things, actually. But this is about politics and where your loyalty lies and who you ultimately trust to make the big decisions about what our society needs to look like in the future. And it's not really so much where somebody comes from, as you pointed out. What would be an example? Maybe Youngkin. Glenn Youngkin didn't really come from a working class family. I mean, he had some cool things that I think connected him to regular guy America. He was a basketball player in college and that sort of thing. But he also became a hedge funder and made $1 jillion. And again, I'm not opposed to that. But what really mattered is that when it came time for him to retire from his economic pursuits and to become a kind of a public citizen and to take a role in politics, he decided, I'm going to put my thumb on the scale on the side of everyday parents who really feel pushed around right now by experts and by authorities and by school board presidents and by principals who tell them, you parents don't know anything. Leave it to those of us who are trained to make these big important decisions. And that's really the common thread amongst all of those politicians who are, you know, likely to be the leading presidential candidates on the Republican side in this next series, is that not so much that they, you know, love the common man more than anybody else, but that they are willing to make really hard decisions, really unpopular decisions, to say credentialed authorities have their limits and we shouldn't just take dictation from the credentialed authorities of the world, because as we've seen in the COVID experience, they make lots of bad judgments as well.
1-800-955-1776 is our phone number. Speaking with Carl Zinsmeister, who has written a piece about the new GOP. The statistics you use right now are that, and this is generally agreed upon because it comes from the U.S. Census, 38% of American voters, or potential American voters at least, are college graduates, four-year college graduates. I think it's more than that if you add on people who have an AA degree from community college. But it's gone up very dramatically. I know that in 1970 it was like 5% who were college graduates. Isn't that an indication that there should be concern if the difference between Republicans and Democrats hinges so much on this growth of people with degrees and academic credentials?
Well, that's partly a matter of judgment and prudence and kind of taste. But the first thing to for us all to keep in mind, you know, you never know from the kind of discussion in journalism and popular media that it's still a rarity, or not a rarity, but it's still a very much of a minority to be a college graduate today. As you pointed out, it's only 38% of the population has a four-year degree. So most people, you know, 62% of the population have something less than a four-year degree. And, you know, in a democracy, in a republic, you have to say those folks need leadership. They need people to stand up for their interests. And that's what we're going to talk about.
We will be right back to talk about that precisely and where this fits in American history and more with Carl Zinsmeister. It's a national expert on American philanthropy, social reform, and culture change. We'll be right back.
1-800-955-1776. The Michael Medved Show.
Should kids have to stay in a dangerous or failing school? In Washington, thousands of kids are assigned to chronically failing schools because they live in the wrong zip code. Michael Medved here for Washington Policy Center. If your child is stuck in a school that isn't helping them fulfill their full potential, shouldn't you have the right to find the educational environment that can? The purpose of public education is to educate children, not to maintain a specific delivery system. Go to fundstudentsfirst.com. Free history show streaming and a download of our daily show ad-free. That's what you get for all of 22 cents a day when you join us as a member, Medhead Plus. This is one of the great deals available to try to enhance appreciation for this greatest nation on God's green earth. Check it out at michaelmedved.com or medvedhistorystore.com.
Now's the time to join the millions of Americans who have changed the quality of their sleep with MyPillow. MyPillow is now offering a BOGO extravaganza on multiple MyPillow products. Right now, get buy one, get one free pricing on MyPillow bed sheets, Giza Elegance MyPillows, six-piece towel sets, and roll and go anywhere MyPillows, and yes, so much more. Just go to the Radio Listener's Specials page at MyPillow.com and use the promo code MEDVED. That's MyPillow.com, promo code MEDVED, or call 1-800-320-6280. That's 800-320-6280. Don't miss this incredible BOGO extravaganza at MyPillow.com. Buy one, get one free on select products. Remember, that's promo code MEDVED or 1-800-320-6280.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is a perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
You've seen crazy diets to lose weight? At GCN Team, our healthy body weight loss system simply neutralizes the body, bringing down cravings. It has been proven that nutritional deficiencies drive appetite for carbs, sugars, and fats. Lose weight the easy way. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Fighting cravings is a fool's game. Give the body what it needs to be satisfied. Again, 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
And Carl Zinsmeister has written a provocative piece about the future of the Republican Party, really, and it's in A Real Clear Politics. The headline is, the GOP is the unlettered party, and that's a good thing. And what he thinks is it is a very good thing, and I think most people would agree with that, that the edge of populism that the Democrats have tried to exploit for years and years and years, really going all the way back to the 1890s. You could say going back to the 1830s into the Jacksonian era, that the edge of populism that Democrats have exploited so effectively for years is now something where the Republicans are competing on their own, where populism isn't just about how much money you have or what kind of background you come from. It has to do with your attitude toward common folks and their lives. Let me ask you about this right now for a moment. The modern conservative movement was, you could say, begun really with the role of William F. Buckley and National Review in the 1950s, and with all of the great names that we know in the conservative past, Russell Kirk would be another example, and all of these conservative thinkers who have been extraordinarily important to launching the conservative movement, who educated to some great extent President Reagan, who himself is often underestimated as a thinker and as an intellectual. With all of that, is what you're talking about in any way a reversal of that association? What would Buckley say about your theory?
Well, I think he would like it. Buckley once famously said that he would rather be ruled by the first 400 people in the Boston phone book than by the 400 members of the Harvard faculty. And that's really what I'm talking about. And I love your questions, Michael, because I want to be crystal clear here. This is not a call for ignorance or for ill education or for anti-intellectualism that I'm making. I actually grew up in that kind of intellectual burst that was so exciting in the 80s and late 70s and into the 90s, where you had, conservative authors on the top of the bestseller list, and you had conservative philosophers, and Alan Bloom was, there's just all kinds of cool things going on. And I loved that. And I hope the Republican Party will have a very strong intellectual future. But the starting point for me is really going back to our founders. As you know, Michael, people like James Madison did a really careful study of how does government get off the rails? How do really scary things happen, like the French Revolution or, in the more modern era that they didn't see but we have seen as, the socialist revolutions, the communist governments. How do those really bad things happen? And our founders' conclusion was that it's not too much common wisdom that makes that happen. It's too much letting aggressive experts who always swarm the halls of power take things over and try to reshape society in their own idealized image. That's when really ugly things happen. So Madison, for instance, was very explicit. He said, our government's going to be kind of clunky, and we want our government to be a little clunky and to have it be difficult to govern, because that will allow everyday people to stand at ease. That's literally one of his quotes. And he said, by contrast, it's easy to make government have an easy time, but when you do that, everyday people just have to bear all kinds of burdens that are unfair. Maybe an even clearer example of this is one of my favorite writers was George Orwell. And Michael, I know you know this quote, but it's just a beautiful study. During World War II, Orwell went through all of the really crucial, forks in the road during World War II, and he kind of looked at, who made the right judgments and who made the wrong judgments, and he found that the expert analysis was more often wrong about what should be done next during World War II than the popular wisdom. And he had this famous quote that I just love, and I'm sure you've used it too. He says, there are some ideas that are so absurd that you have to belong to the intelligentsia to believe them, because no ordinary person could be such a fool. And, that really, there's deep wisdom to that. So this is not saying that there's no place for experts. Of course there are places for experts. We have to rely on our, physicists to explain astronomy to us, and we have to trust our doctors to understand cancer. But we don't have to give those people blank checks to tell us who we should vote for. There's much more that goes into wisdom than simply credentials.
Right. The term common sense, which, of course, was a very important phrase in the Revolution. That was the title of the pamphlet that basically argued for independence for the colonies by Thomas Paine. But common sense is powerful. But again, you come back to the same contradiction in American history, and it's maybe not a contradiction, but it's certainly at least a tension, is that James Madison was a Princeton graduate. he did right, brilliantly right. at Princeton, and that this is at a time when it fewer than one out of 100 Americans would go to college of any kind, because there weren't that many of them. Thomas Jefferson went to William and Mary, which is the second oldest college in the country, next to Harvard. And John Adams went to Harvard, and John Quincy Adams went to Harvard. And then you have Abraham Lincoln. But the one thing about Lincoln is he was, he certainly believed that, yes, you had to listen to and rally the common people, but you also had to lead them. And Lincoln was somebody who not only knew the Bible, and he knew it very well, particularly from later in his life, but he had memorized whole Shakespeare plays by heart and liked to recite them in the middle of the night to his assistants, John Nicolay and John Hay, who were living in the White House at the time, trying to help him save the world and free the slaves. So the idea, and I appreciate the fact that you made very clear in your article, and you make very clear in your argument, that you're not arguing against either education or intelligence. Who do you think, what is the crucial element in applying and appealing to the great bulk of Americans? Do you agree that it should be common sense, basically stuff that everybody knows deep in your heart, even without a PhD, is true?
Well, you know, I just think there's an awful lot of stuff that's being rammed down the throats of everyday people today, which has never, ever been accepted by a mass public. And in fact, is even controversial among this narrow slice of graduate students of the world. And that's really dangerous. And let me say, Michael, that I can recognize two ways that any government could get into very dangerous and frightening territory. One is, you know, you can do rabble rousing too much. You can rouse the rabble too much, and you know, fascism and so forth are real things. They do exist. That's at least a theoretical risk in our country and every country. But the other risk, which I think is much more likely and plausible today, is that you get a highly educated, very wealthy, and very intolerant aristocracy that thinks they know everything and that is going to dictate to the rest of the country. And I simply think that that's the greater risk today that we need to be careful about.
And I hope you'll come back and we'll continue this conversation. Carl Zinsmeister's piece from Real Clear Politics, posted on our website at michaelmedved.com. We will be right back.
The Michael Medved Show. What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com, and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
USA News Update. A Georgia grand jury has finished its investigation into former President Trump's attempt to reverse his 2020 election loss. The grand jury's final report is complete and has been handed over to the Fulton County District Attorney. She will have to decide if criminal charges will be filed. Students at the University of Idaho are returning to classes today for the first time since a suspect in the murder of four of their classmates has been arrested.
I feel better, sort of, knowing that they have the suspect in custody, that there's a chance that this might all be behind us soon enough.
I think a lot of people are wondering how he planned it out, how it all came together, and Why?
Brian Koberger was arrested December 30th and charged with four counts of murder. Buffalo Bills player Damar Hamlin is out of the hospital. Doctors caring for Hamlin at the University of Cincinnati Medical Center said Hamlin is back in Buffalo and starting the next phase of his recovery. John Schaefer, USA News.
If you're like most Americans, you can see things are out of control. Global problems have local consequences. Too many of them. And if the next news headline spins us into chaos, you'd better be ready. Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Today's the day to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. And as you'd expect from a true preparedness company, our food kits are in stock and ship quickly. Those who know what's coming are preparing today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need.
We want pizza!
You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business, then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@GCNlive.com.
The Michael Medved Show.
And on the Michael Medved Show, 200 migrants arrive daily in Denver as border pressure mounts. Now, you can look at the map. Denver is not near the border. You have to travel, I'm not sure how many hundreds of miles, but it's many. You have to travel through New Mexico or Arizona to get up to Denver, and they are big states. Nearly 4,000 immigrants, almost all Venezuelans, have arrived unannounced in icy Denver with nowhere to stay and sometimes dressed in nothing more than T-shirts and flip-flops. Now, the part of what has happened is that these people have been transported in buses to Chicago and New York. The governor of Colorado, who's considered a future leader of the Democratic Party, Jared Polis, is just easily reelected in this last round. In any event, he has basically stopped that. He's not going to. I don't know what they're going to do with the immigrants who are being shipped to Denver. But then again, there's a lot of talk about President Biden and his stop at the border before making his way to Mexico City, where he's supposed to be negotiating basically a return to the Trump policy of stay in Mexico. And that doesn't mean stay in Mexico forever. What stay in Mexico policy meant was the idea that if you apply for asylum until they process your application, you don't get to come into the United States. You stay in Mexico. And that, it seems to me, makes a great deal of sense, so much sense that even President Biden is moving in that regard. The governor of Texas, Greg Abbott, who has been highly critical, obviously, of the Biden administration on the border, was on Fox News and ripping Biden for not even being willing to work together with the governor of the largest state in the continental United States, other than Alaska. This is Governor Abbott, clip 12.
During this entire time, Joe Biden has not called me. He did not call me, nor his staff call and let us know either about his visit or to invite us until last night. We got a random email to one of my staff members asking if I would be there to meet him on the tarmac. And so they have failed to communicate. And listen, this visit is about 2 years too late and about $20 billion short of what needs to be done. All he's going to do down there is rearrange the chairs on the deck of the Titanic. He's not going to achieve any solutions that will make the border safer, more secure, and stop illegal immigration.
And by the way, some of what goes on here, and we're going to be speaking with Chad Wolf, who was under the Trump administration at one point acting Secretary of Homeland Security. But what he talks about is the statistics on human trafficking and how much the loosening of standards here has made it easier for the cartels, which are making up to $13 billion a year now. Under the Biden administration. This is Governor Greg Abbott. He spoke about meeting Biden on the tarmac. This is Governor Greg Abbott of Texas on the tarmac in front of Air Force One. Again, making some of the same criticisms you just heard. This is clip two.
The president who caused the chaos of the border needed to be here. It just so happens he's 2 years and about $20 billion too late. He needs to step up and take swift action, including reimbursing the state of Texas for the money that we spent, but providing more resources for the federal government to do its job. Also, this is nothing but for show unless it begins to enforce the immigration laws already that exist in the United States of America that are contained in the letter that are provided to the president today.
What did he say to you? What did the president say to you?
He said he wanted to work with us on it.
Well, it's about time. And again, given the level of concern and the fact that this is a definitely for most people in the country, they do not approve of the job that President Biden is doing keeping our border secure, or at least more secure. You'll never have an absolutely secure southern border or northern border for that matter. But to improve the situation is an obligation of the president and, yes, of the Secretary of Homeland Security. This is Alejandro Mayorkas, the Secretary of Homeland Security, who was on with George Stephanopoulos. And he had this to say about his future in this very crucial federal department. This is clip 2.5.
I am joining the president today on his visit to El Paso, Texas. I've been to the border quite a number of times. I'm joining the president at the North American Leaders Summit in Mexico City to work with our partners in Mexico and Canada to address the security of the homeland. I've got a lot of work to do. I'm proud to do it alongside 250,000 incredibly dedicated and talented individuals in the Department of Homeland Security, and I'm going to continue to do my work.
So you have no intention of resigning?
I do not. I've got a lot of work to do, and we're going to do it.
Are you prepared for the investigations?
I am.
Okay. Again, what will those investigations reveal? And in terms of Mayorkas resisting resignation, look, there are all kinds of ways that they can do that. But obviously, one of the things that Joe Biden has to do, and it won't be an instant cure to the immigration crisis to transfer Mayorkas to some other governmental responsibility, which is something he might do. But that is one of those things that we will see. This came in from email from David in Lacey, Washington, who writes, I take it Dan Crenshaw is still one of your favorite representatives after calling the members of the Freedom Caucus who voted against McCarthy terrorists and then apologizing on CNN while claiming he is a victim. Are you a fan of Nancy Mace calling another Republican representative a clown on another mainstream propaganda outlet? Tony Gonzalez throwing a tantrum and threatening to kill the rules package? Does Ronald Reagan's 11th commandment only apply when it comes to representatives you agree with? I personally disagree with the 80% rule when in many cases parts of the 20% are weighted much higher. I think what he means by the 80% rule is when Reagan said that if somebody agrees with me 80% of the time, he's not my enemy, he's my ally. And I think that is true. But the difficulty with everything you're talking about, all of the comments by Nancy Mace and Tony Gonzalez and Dan Crenshaw, all of those comments have nothing to do with policy. They have nothing to do with policy. They have to do with strategy. They have to do with the political mechanics of trying to work things out. And again, I think that Dan Crenshaw was appropriate, especially for somebody who has sacrificed so much as he has, fighting terrorism and fighting real danger. It's clearly a mistake, as he acknowledged, to call any patriotic American or members of the Freedom Caucus terrorists. The one thing that is most important, and I think that Nancy Mace at least recognizes, and I think Tony Gonzalez does as well, is that part of the main priority right now is to get Republicans at least to work together on some of the priorities that a new GOP Congress can actually achieve. They will not achieve, however, a solution to the raccoon crisis. No, we're going to confront this ugly truth coming up.
This is the Michael Medved Show.
This is totally, completely inappropriate.
Okay, it's winter time, and that shouldn't stop you from going outdoors and enjoying yourself and getting some exercise. Relief Factor can help with that cause. Relief Factor is natural. It consists of fish oil and turmeric primarily and other ingredients that have been tested and shown to be remarkably effective. Relief Factor can make you feel better and give you an opportunity to enjoy all kinds of aspects of an active life that you may have been prevented from enjoying in the past. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner. There's a special price available for what is called a quick start with Relief Factor. You take these tablets, which are entirely natural, no chemicals, no preservatives of any kind. This is a wonderful product that we heartily endorse. Go to michaelmedved.com, look for the banner for Relief Factor. We've all heard the saying, safety in numbers. Well, think again. The IRS, the country's powerful tax collection agency, is on a hiring spree. They're bringing in 87,000 new agents. Now, no taxpayer at any income level is entirely safe from IRS scrutiny or, worse, a dreaded IRS audit. This is Michael Medved for AmFed Coin and Bullion. How safe are your accumulated savings and wealth from government examination and reach? Owning gold and silver is one of the best ways to keep your wealth in your own hands. Precious metals provide a layer of privacy that's not available through a bank account. When you own precious metals, only you and your dealer have knowledge of your purchase. Now, I buy all of my precious metals from my friend Nick Rovich, owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion. Nick's been in this industry for 41 years, and he has established a reputation built on trust, transparency, integrity, and fair pricing. Call Nick and his team, 800-221-7694, 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of Trustlink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Michael Medved show, clearly there are people out there, and in fact, I think it includes the overwhelming majority of the Republicans in the House of Representatives and certainly in the U.S. Senate, in state legislatures and governorships. Most of the people are the heart and soul of the Republican Party across the country who want the party to come together, who don't particularly enjoy the stalemate of the 15 ballots that it took to elect Kevin McCarthy's speaker. This is Nancy Mace, who was commented on by David and Lacey, who wrote into us. This is her comparison of House Republicans who initially opposed Kevin McCarthy and were determined to block his speakership to, well, is this an unsavory insult? She actually compares them to Nancy Pelosi. Listen.
I will tell you, when I ran for Congress 2 years ago, I won by 1 point, and I ran to be a new Nancy in the House. And what I saw last week was a small faction of the 20 who are acting just like the old Nancy, trying to cut backroom deals in private and secret without anyone knowing what else was going on. And when they did the rules package at the end of the day, there was only 1 point that was changed. That was on the motion to vacate. That was the only difference in the package that we're going to be voting on tomorrow that was different from the original package that was proposed. So my question really is today is what backroom deals were cut? Did they try to cut? And did they get those? Because we shouldn't be operating like Nancy Pelosi, this small faction. And they're the ones that are saying they were, quote, fighting the swamp, but then yet went and tried to act like, you know, like they actually are the swamp, yeah, by trying to do these backroom deals. And we don't know what they got or didn't get.
Look, one of the points that Nancy Mace, the Congress lady from South Carolina, she got famous because she was the first female graduate of the Citadel, which is a great and historic military college in South Carolina. I'm almost sure that's where George Patton actually got his education. In any event, that was her point. And then Dan Crenshaw, Navy SEAL, a true American hero and a strong member of Congress from Texas, actually showed real strength, it seems to me, in apologizing for the irresponsible use of language in calling some of his GOP colleagues terrorists. Here is Dan Crenshaw, clip 13.
You opened up with the whole terrorist comments. I do have to address that.
Please.
Right?
But things get heated and things get said. Obviously, to the people who took offense by that, it's pretty obvious that it's meant as a turn of phrase
It's a metaphor.
It's in the context of intransient negotiations. I've got pretty thick skin. I'm called awful, vile things by the very same wing of the party that I'm fighting. I was fighting at that moment, so I was a little taken aback by the
sensitivity.
Yeah, by the sensitivity of it, but. To the extent that I had colleagues that were offended by it, I sincerely apologize to them. I don't want them to think I actually believe they're terrorists. It's clearly a turn of phrase that you use in what is an intransient negotiation.
Okay, maybe not the most gracious apology ever, but still an apology and a recognition that you're not contributing to party unity by calling people on the other side terrorists. Then there is Hakeem Jeffries. He was on Meet the Press. Now, isn't it peculiar? Here's the guy who represents the minority in the House of Representatives, who never got above that 212 votes that he got on every ballot, all 15. But he talked with a little bit of grace concerning Kevin McCarthy, clip 14.
Speaker Pelosi did not have a great relationship with Kevin McCarthy. What's yours?
Well, Kevin McCarthy and I have had some positive forward-looking conversations over the last few weeks, and I'm hopeful that we'll be able to build upon those conversations to do the right thing for the American people. Clearly, we are going to have strong disagreements at times, but we can agree to disagree without being disagreeable. That is what I believe the American people would like to see in terms of a functional House, a functional Senate, a functional government. I look forward to building upon the Biden agenda, tremendous accomplishments from the American Rescue Plan to the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act, to gun safety legislation for the first time in 30 years, the Chips and Science Act, the Inflation Reduction Act, and moving the country forward. And if Kevin McCarthy is willing to try to find common ground in that regard, they will find willing partners amongst House Democrats.
Okay, when he talks about common ground, he's not talking about actually coming together and both sides compromising. He's just reviewing his own list of Biden's greatest hits. Speaking of greatest hits, this headline completely captured my attention. It's from the Wall Street Journal this morning. The headline, Iowa mulls full-year raccoon hunt to curb pests. People who've listened to the show for a while know that no one on the Medved Show staff, no one is a fan of raccoons. In fact, quite the opposite. Jeremy Steiner, pride of Hillsdale College, is implacable in his opposition to raccoons. He would even call them terrorists. But there's this. Shine a light at any of the buildings on Ethan Crow's Central Iowa farm at night, and you are likely to see several pairs of eyes staring back at you, he says, and piles of scat covering the floor, the signs of what farmers are calling an out-of-control raccoon crisis. Another farmer discovered that a raccoon had been sleeping inside his combine when he started it up, killing the animal and causing thousands of dollars in damage. Mr. Crow, 35 years old, who lives near Marshalltown, Iowa, says he loses several thousand dollars in sweet corn to raccoon raids every year. We do some trapping when we can, he says. Otherwise, I mean, legally, there's just not a lot that we are supposed to do. The fine for hunting or trapping a raccoon outside the season, which runs from early November through January, can be as much as $335. That could be changing soon. The Iowa Department of Natural Resources plans public hearings later this winter on a proposal to allow year-round hunting of raccoons and limited year-round trapping to give Iowans more options to address nuisance raccoons. So says Vince Evelsizer, a biologist for the department. Annual surveys show that the number of raccoons has nearly tripled since 2006. Why is that? Raccoons face few natural predators, and they're far less valuable to hunters and trappers because of the decline of the fur trade. Mr. Evelsizer says the department draws hundreds of complaints every year from farmers and homeowners about damage not only to crops, but also to buildings, vehicles, bird feeders, as well as injuries to pets and farm animals. Many farmers have clearly had enough of the crafty mammals, which typically weigh about 8 to 20 pounds. They may be cute and cuddly, but not here in farm country, says Dean Fisher, a Republican state representative. They're a vermin and a nuisance. And then they speak to one Haley Enenking, and her husband Thomas hosted a female raccoon for three springs as she raised litters of kits in the front yard of their home in Des Moines. Aha, city people. She was an awesome little neighbor, says Mrs. Anna King, 34, who works in risk and control at a bank. The couple enjoyed watching her teach the little kits to climb in the evenings and then waddle off for her own adventures. Ms. Anna King says, she did not come back in 2022, and I have to say, it's been weighing on my mind, she says. I hope she's okay. Again, that she seems to be a minority, and a real minority. I'll tell you somebody else who's a real minority right now, is anyone who wants to defend the alteration in U.S. border security since Joe Biden has been president. Anybody think that's going real well? I mean, honestly, it's almost impossible to defend. So what do we need to do? Chad Wolf is the former acting secretary of the Department of Homeland Security, and he's executive director and chair right now of the Center for Homeland Security and Immigration at the America First Policy Institute. So he wants to apply some of his experience, giving some advice, constructive advice, to Joe Biden. What can be done about this immigration mess? That and more coming up in This Greatest Nation on God's Green Earth.
Hi, Fred Dwyer here. If you suffer from a serious chronic illness, heartburn, poor sleep, fatigue, brain fog, you need Balance 7. Balance 7 water improves the acid-alkaline balance in the body. The right pH helps unlock the immune system. It also allows for better hydration and nourishment during times of medication and stress. Balance 7 works. I know. I use it every day. Now you can try it free. Balance 7 is offering chronic illness sufferers a free gallon of Balance 7 water for the first 100 callers. That's an $87 value free. So call 800-793-9039 and mention my name, Fred. The first 100 callers suffering with a chronic illness get a free gallon of Balance 7 water. So call 800-793-9039, code word Fred, or visit balance7.com. That's balance, the number 7.com. 800-793-9039, code word Fred.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.